Anyway, we're on a nice hot day, maybe the hottest day of the year, the way they're predicting it. So if you wouldn't mind turning to Genesis chapter 30, it's going to be a real hot chapter here. Anyway, no, but I think we're going to have a good time today studying it. Hopefully everyone has a handout. We'll look at the handout first and go through some details there, then we'll dive into the text. I'm only going to read the first couple of verses, and we're going to be finishing chapter 30, and then we're going to get into a little bit of 31. They go very well together. The dialogue and the storyline fits very well. So if you found your way to Genesis chapter 30, I'm going to start reading from verse 25, from 25 to 33. If you have found your way there, if you wouldn't mind standing in honor of God's word as we read it. Genesis chapter 30, starting in verse 25. And it came to pass when Rachel had borne Joseph that Jacob said to Laban, "Send me away that I may go to my own place and to my own country. And give me my wives and my children for whom I have served you, and let me go now, for you know my service which I have done for you." And Laban said to him, "Please stay, if I have found favor in your eyes, for I have learned by experience that the Lord has blessed me for your sake." Then he said, "Name your wages, and I will give it." And Jacob said to him, "You know how I have served you and how your livestock have been with me. For what you had before I came was little, and it has increased to a great amount. And the Lord has blessed you since my coming. And now, when shall I also provide for my own house?" And he said, "What shall I give you?" And Jacob said, "You shall not give me anything. If you will do this thing for me, I will again feed and keep your flocks. Let me pass through all your flocks today, removing from there all the speckled and spotted sheep and all the brown ones from among the lambs, and the spotted and speckled among the goats, and these shall be my wages. So my righteousness will answer for me in time to come, when the subject of my wages comes before you. Everyone that is not speckled and spotted among the goats and brown among the lambs will be considered stolen if it is with me." And Laban said, "Oh, that it were according to your word." Thank you. You may be seated. Father, once again, we're privileged to come before your throne. We're privileged to come as a body of believers to fellowship together, to really rally around your word, Father. And we pray that as we study this set text that we will learn principles that will be helpful for us. We're going to learn a lot of things about a lot of people, the way they think and their attitudes, and we can learn from them things that we could do for our own selves and things we shouldn't do in our own lives. So help us to realize those principles as we dive in. Father, we want you and you alone to get all the glory for whatever happens this day. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you wouldn't mind turning, look at the handout. I think I'll start with that, and we'll look at some details there. So I called it, you know, Jacob's time with Laban, because it's really describing how his whole period of time that he's been with Laban. And of course, you can remember the detail as to why he's even there in the first place. He had just deceived his father, Isaac, and Esau to get the blessing from Isaac, remember? And then Esau was determined to kill Jacob, and his mom overheard that, so he told Jacob, and so he ended up leaving that area. But in the meanwhile, the real reason he left was because of fear of being killed from Esau, but yet they came up with another reason. Well, while you're at it, it'd be a good time for you to get married. Remember, now, understand, we have a lot of times you see the pictures and things of these, especially in stories with little kids, and they had Jacob looking pretty young. He's in his 70s at this time. He's not particularly young, okay? From our standpoint, he's, you know, much older to be thinking about getting married for the first time, but this is going to be true for him. He's going to be looking for that. So he's afraid of Esau, but he's going to be looking for a wife. And obviously that does work, but not exactly as he thinks. So we're going to be dealing with the time that he is with Laban, and that is very instructive, I think, very much. So look at the first one. I said, after 7 years. Now remember, he came there and he loved Rachel and he wanted to marry Rachel and all that. And he did the 7 years of service. Now each time these years pass, it's not giving us any details. It's just saying he served them And then, you know, this is where we are 7 years later. So Laban deceived Jacob, remember, by doing what? Well, he wanted to marry the younger Rachel, and he tricked them into marrying Leah first. And so he obviously was deceived, and he knows what he was deceived. But yet at the same time, Laban said, but you can have her, Rachel, 8 days later, after the 7 weeks, it's like a 7-day festivity to the marriage. So he's married to Leah, and then on the 8th day, he gets married to Rachel. He said, you can marry her if you stay another 7 years. And so he does. So now 7 years is going to pass. So now on the outline, it says that the second point is, after 14 years, now this is 14 years is going to bring us into where we are in the text, right, today. He's been there 14 years. He's served the time that he promised, the 14 years, the 7, then an additional 7. So he's at this point where he's thinking, I need to take care of my own family. As time is, he is getting older himself, and he needs to take care of his family, which includes his wives. And of course, last week we talked about the battle that was going on between the wives and the children and all that. And so it's quite interesting, because in chapter 30, the first 25 verses is all about seed, right? First 24 verses is all about how many children they have, and God's blessing him by giving them seed. And that, of course, is according to the covenant that God made to Abraham way back in Genesis chapter 12 and repeated in chapter 15, right? That he's going to have a seed. But as we go on now, as we are in chapter 30, you're going to see more of the idea of blessing. Not only is he giving him the seed, he's going to greatly increase his wealth and all that goes with that. So the first point I have under that, after 14 years, Jacob sought to provide for his own household, so he requested to leave, and that's where we are at the text. He's requesting to depart, right, with his wives and his children, because he has fulfilled his obligation. That's important. Laban recognizes that the Lord has blessed him. Laban's been blessed because of actually Jacob's very presence, because the Lord's blessing Jacob by the phone and by proximity. Laban is also being blessed, and that's obviously, he knows that, he recognizes that. So in Laban's mind, the last thing he wants is for Jacob to go away, because he knew, even as Jacob points out in the text, that you really didn't have much when I came, but after I came, now you have an abundance. Now you have a whole lot. And Laban has to recognize that in a big time way. So the last thing he wants is for Jacob to go away. He doesn't want that to happen at all. So again, they continue. They came up with this plan. So this plan is, how is it that, from Laban's standpoint, I can keep Jacob, and what would be the benefit for Jacob staying? So I took the time to go through Jacob's offer. Laban is the one who said, name me your wages. And then Jacob's the one that said, well, here's the condition. This is what I would like to do. I'm going to read the points, and just to give you a fullness, and then when we dive into the text, you'll see them come out in text as well. So under where it says Jacob's offer, so Jacob would continue to care for Laban's animal as he's been doing. It's going to continue what he's been doing. That part doesn't change, right? And that's exactly what Laban's looking for. Jacob would receive wages from his work from animals that have not yet been born. So all these animals, basically, belong to Laban. And there's now going to be some that are going to be born, and he's going to make some conditions concerning new animals that are going to be born. Jacob would be paid by the birth of these rare or less desirable colored animals. I mean, they typically, most of them were going to be white and pure in color. And so those are going to, so most of the herd that they would see were going to be like that. But there would be some that would be speckled and spotted. We'll talk about that in a moment. And so those are going to be the unusual ones that are going to end up becoming Jacob's, the unusual ones, the speckled ones. So Jacob will receive any speckled or spotted offspring of the flock. The new ones that are born, again, they all belong to Laban now, but anything new is going to become part of Jacob's flock. Jacob would take care of the solid colored flock. Now this is where it gets interesting, because it doesn't give you all the details of how the mechanics of it, of how this happens. All we know is Jacob's going to receive some of the flock that are born a certain kind of color, and the rest of them would still be Laban's. He's not going to tell us how this all works out. It does some of the details, but I think you're going to find out how it works. It's pretty interesting. It's always in Laban's favor, the offer. The way he offers it, presents it to Laban is, man, this is a win-win-win. It's going to be very unusual for Jacob to win, it comes out as the humanly speaking way of looking at it. So he'll take care of the solid colored flock from Laban, and then anything that's speckled, then that would become part of Jacob's flock, right? So the plan costs Laban nothing. Again, because he said, you will pay me nothing, meaning no money. And that money concept is going to come out a lot more as we go on further in the text. There's a lot more behind the money. I remember a long time ago when we first met Laban was in the context of Isaac getting a bride for himself, right? And so we saw, he seemed, whenever money got involved, he seemed to be involved with it. He has an affinity for money, but he's not very good with the spending of it, let's put it that way. Anyway, so the plan ostensibly would gain very little for Jacob. As the pattern is, you look out there and you go, well, there's only so many speckle. If that's all you're ever going to get, Jacob, that's great. This looks really good. Because most of them are solid colored. Most of them are white colored and things like that. So that's great. Obviously, looking at the flock as it is now, as the pattern has already been, I'm obviously going to win, Laban is thinking, and Jacob's going, well, we'll have to see what the Lord does in this situation. There is a sense where here, more than ever, that we've ever seen Jacob really seemingly acknowledging publicly the Lord. I think that's pretty obvious when you go on. He's now acknowledging more of it, but there's still some things he does that makes you wonder. Okay, so at this point, few of these animals were colored or speckled and spotted. Again, that's the point. Very few were. So obviously, if things continue as they've been doing, you continue watching my flock, obviously Laban's thinking he's going to be the winner out of this big deal. So Jacob would not use any of the speckled or abnormally colored animals for breeding. We're going to see that. They're going to be separated. And so the speckled and the spotted ones are going to have to come from the solid colored animals. Oh, that seems like it makes it even more difficult. You can imagine how a speckled and a speckled get together. They might have speckled. That seems pretty obvious. But no, he's going to be producing, the Lord's going to be producing, speckled and spotted out of solid colored animals. So that's part of the miracle that's going to be involved here. So Laban, you're going to see, is going to divide the flock and gave Jacob's animals to his care. So he's going to divide the flock, take these away, these that are spotted. And actually, you're going to find out that Laban has sons. It's the first time that other sons of Laban are going to be mentioned. And they're going to be giving these speckled ones to the sons. Okay, and that's important. So they're separated from the solid colored ones. And then Laban, this is interesting, he puts 3 days' journey between himself and the animals. So they're going to have the solid colored ones that Jacob's going to be watching. And he's going to, anything that comes out that are speckled and spotted, they're going to be relocated eventually to be with his sons. They're going to be watching the speckled ones, which are 3 days away. The text will tell us they're 3 days' journey. So get the idea that they're separate, keeping them separated, and all that goes with it. So any solid-colored animals would among Jacob's would be considered stolen. So if he kept any of the speckled among him, so he could use it for breeding, it would look as if Jacob is stealing. I mean, the conditions are set up so it's impossible for Jacob to win. But obviously, you can see, but God, right? But God's going to make everything completely different. So obviously, Laban liked the deal because the odds were, humanly speaking, stacked to his advantage. Everything about it said, I'm going to win. I'm going to win big, right? So Laban believed this was a favorable concession to continue to keep Jacob's, his skills. He obviously had very little when Jacob came. Now he has a lot, and he doesn't want that to go away. He's very manipulative, Laban is. Although Laban had everything on his side, God was with Jacob, and that's going to become obvious as we go through the text. By this arrangement, Jacob really was putting himself in God's hand. I mean, humanly speaking, there's no way Jacob is going to be producing all these spotted and speckled and all that out of all these solid. I mean, every once in a while you get that, but that's every once in a while. This is not going to be every once in a while. It's going to turn into, it's all turning around. Most of them are going to be born are going to be spotted and speckled, even though the parents are solid colored. You obviously see God's doing a miracle here. So only the Lord could determine what these animals are going to be. So he really is putting his hands, his life and everything in the hands of the Lord. And then I had the last point was after 20 years, after which is 6 years, so 4, 7, 7, and 6, and the text will bear that out. He's finally going to get the notion, I need to get out of here, this isn't working. He'll actually eventually leave that region. So let's just dive in. Chapter 30, verse 25, and I think you'll see the story is quite interesting. And it came to pass when Rachel had borne Joseph that Jacob said to Laban, send me away that I may go to my own place in my country. This is after the 14 years before this offer was made. So he's beginning, he wants to go, he wants to leave, he wants to have his own family and all that goes with it. And so as I mentioned, it's the idea of seed in the first 24 verses, and then from 25 through the end, through 34, is all about God blessing Jacob. So all this is according to the covenant God made with Abraham originally, is being fulfilled in Jacob's life. Not because Jacob deserves it, or like any of the blessings that we receive, not that we deserve it, but because God is gracious is obviously a very important point. But after he's been gone for 14 plus years here, he calls it my own country, my own place. He knows where he belongs. He's been working all these years with Laban's herds and all that, and increasing them, and that's great. But he knows he needs to go back because he understands that there's a land of promise, the third part of the covenant, the land, the blessing, and of course the seed. And so all that's important. Verse 26. Now, I should point out that Joseph was born. And so now that's the 11th of the 12 tribes, right? There's still one more to come. Benjamin's still going to come, but that's going to be later. That's going to be after they finally move out, after they actually depart from up there in Haran. 26, give me my wives and my children for whom I have served you, both the wives and all those, at least 11 children and daughters. There are actually more than just Dinah. But she's the only one that's named in the text, but there's other daughters as well. And let me go, for you know my service which I have done for you. You know how much I've done for you and how you've benefited. I've done my time. I kept my word and all that goes with it. Laban hasn't always kept his word. He's very deceitful, but Jacob, in this case, has been very honest. And Laban said to him, please stay if I have found favor in your eyes. Now, that's going to become more of an interesting phrase, if I have found favor in your eyes, because you're going to find out more and more about Laban's nature, his attitude, and all that goes with it, which isn't very, very positive. So, if I have found favor in your eyes, for I have learned by experience that the Lord has blessed me for your sake. Now, that's an interesting phrase. The word by experience, you know, you think it means but over time, absorbing that kind of experience. It kind of has that idea, but that's not what the word is. The Hebrew word is by divination. So understanding Jacob, or let me go to Laban. Laban says he acknowledges God, the Jehovah, the Lord, and all that, Yahweh. Says, I acknowledge him, but he also has these idols that will come up a little bit later in the text. And he's got these idols, and he's by divination. The divination is the idea of whispering words like a spell to learn. You try to find out something about the future. He's, you know, wanting to understand how things are going to work. It's kind of like if you could just know what that stock market is going to do. If you could invest in this, I could win. Well, you know, whatever the motive is. But the point is, he's using something other than God to guide him. That's pretty obvious in the text. So 28 is when he starts to negotiate with Laban. Then he said, name your wages, and I will give it to you. No, so Laban is saying, whatever you want, I'll give it to you. Now understand, you got to understand, as you go on in the text, you're going to find out when he says that, he's blowing smoke, as the expression would go, because he has no money. He's pretty much broke, and you'll see why that comes out in the text. The only thing he's got, the herds and the flocks and the money and the wool and all that comes from that, that's all he's got. He doesn't have much of any other money. And again, that will come out more and more in the text. 29, so Jacob said to him, you know how I have served you and how your livestock had been with me. He's the one who's been in charge of the livestock. For what you had before I came was little. He points this out. You know you didn't have a lot, Laban, when I came here. And it has increased to a great amount. The Lord has blessed you since my coming, and now what shall I provide for my own house? And they get the idea. He's like, listen, you've done well, you've been blessed in a great way. I have nothing for my own self. I should be on my own and not working like a slave, not working like a servant. So that's a pretty important concept. 31, and he said, what shall I give you? And Jacob said, you shall not give me anything. Jacob knows Laban's condition financially. He understands what's going on. And he knows he can't, if he asked for money or something like that, this whole thing would be over. There would be no negotiation because there's nothing for him to give. But he's got these sheep. And he's got what he can make wool and stuff like that from the sheep. And that's his only means of income. And that has been increasing. So that's a good thing. But he said, what shall I give you? And he said, you shall not give me anything. Then he says, if you will do this thing for me, I will again keep your flock. So right away, Laban is going, there's a chance that Jacob might stay. Good. Because he's afraid that if he goes away, he'll lose even that. Even those sheep that he does have. So he goes into that whole offer we just described. So verse 32 continues, let me pass through all the flock today, looking at them and analyze them, removing from there all the speckled and spotted sheep and all the brown ones from among the lambs, the spotted and the speckled among the goats, and these shall be my wages. So it's a small number. There's not a lot of them. So he goes through it, and they find the speckled from the solid, and they take the few speckled and spotted away and divide them out. It's interesting. So he's going to separate them and so that they can't be involved with breeding any more spotted and speckled from among the solid. Jacob's only going to be working with the solid animals, right? And that's an important concept. 33. So my righteousness will answer for me. This is a time of integrity. He's saying, my righteousness is I'm not going to do anything devious, and it's got to be the work of God, is what he's saying. So my righteousness will answer for me in time to come. When the subject of my wages comes before you, everyone that is not speckled and spotted among the goats, isn't how he sets this up, everyone that's not speckled and spotted among the goats and the brown among the lambs will be considered stolen if they're with me. So immediately, if an animal is born that's spotted and speckled, they need to be separated out, and we'll show you where they're going to go. They're going to be separated out, and so again, Jacob continues to only work with the solid, working with Laban's animals. So he's going to be, see, somebody else is going to be taking care of Jacob's in the meanwhile as these animals will increase. 34, and Laban said, oh, that were according to your word. So he absolutely likes it. I mean, if Jacob is caught keeping these speckled ones so he could breed them more and more, he would be considered as a thief. And it's not unusual to have this spotted and speckled one, especially from among solid and solid animals. You can see how that's going to be quite interesting. So 35, you're going to see the separation, how it's organized. So he removed that day the male goats that were speckled and spotted and all the female goats that were speckled and spotted, everyone that had some white in it and all the brown ones among the lambs, and gave them to the hands of his sons. Now this is the first time Laban's sons are even mentioned. So the speckled ones, the ones that are going to be Jacob's, are all going to his sons, right? And that's how they're going to be kept separated. 36, then he said, then he makes it even more difficult, impossible, humanly speaking, for Jacob to win. He says, then he put 3 days' journey between himself and Jacob, and Jacob fed the rest of Laban's flock. So Jacob continued to keep Laban's flock, the solid colors, and all these speckled and spotted are going 3 days away. It's too far away to just go run them over there, the mate, and, you know, to try to make these multicolored animals. It doesn't work. 37. Then Jacob took for himself rods. Now this is where every one of the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they all seem to think, I know God's involved, but I got to have my way. I got to have my little play in it. And so this is his little play in it. Jacob seems to think that this superstition is somehow going to make him a winner. No, he's only going to be a winner because of God. But look at 37 again. Now Jacob took for himself rods of green poplar and of the olive and chestnut trees, peeled white stripes in them, and exposed the white which was in the rods. So get this picture. He's taking these different seeds and different rods, and he's doing something. There's a certain procedure he's going through, and superstition says you can somehow manipulate the birth of animals with using these different rods. We would look at that and go, well, that's kind of bizarre, but and somehow man has to always think we have to get a little play in there, right? 38. And the rods which he had peeled, he set before the flocks in the gutters, you know, the watering trough, and there'd be what was going around it, in the watering troughs where the flocks came to drink, so that they could conceive when they would drink. So we know it wasn't just the drinking that they can see. The animals have to have the union, and it all goes with it. But the idea is he's thinking, he's manipulating how the animals are going to come out, how they're, what they're going to look like as they're born. So the flocks conceived before the rods, and the flocks brought forth streaked, speckled, and spotted, which is exactly the ones that were promised to Jacob, these unusually colored ones. Then Jacob separated the lambs, verse 40, he separated the lambs and made the flocks face towards the streaked and all the brown in the flock of Laban. But he put his own flocks by themselves and did not put them with Laban's flock. So as they're being born, he kept them separated. What that ultimately means is he had servants, and they had to take these flocks over to Laban's sons. It doesn't say that in the text, but that's what's going on. As they're being born, they're going to Laban's sons. So that number is increasing that Laban's son is seeing. They're seeing a lot more. Whoa, more of these. Well, that's amazing. And so the sons are perceiving something's happening here, but we'll see that. Verse 41, and it came to pass whenever the stronger livestock, now Jacob had to be the one determine who's the stronger and who's the weaker, right? This is humanly speaking. And it came to pass whenever the stronger livestock conceived that Jacob placed the rods before the eyes of the livestock in the gutters. Again, he's doing this little superstitious thing that they might conceive among the rods. Right? So somehow this is influencing them and how they're going to come out. 42. But when the flocks were feeble, he did not put them in before them. He only put it forward what he perceived to be the stronger. So the feebler were Laban's, and the stronger were Jacob's. And so this is his view. This is how he's viewing it. I'm going to keep all the strong ones. You're going to have all the weak ones. And this is his plan, Jacob's. His little addition to the whole plant thing, right? 43. Thus the man became exceedingly prosperous and had large flocks, female and male servants, and camels and donkeys. So he's got a lot, and he's able to make money off of the wool and all that. And he's got more and more and more as he's making a lot of money, is what's obviously happening with Jacob here. 31. So Jacob, this is where his story gets a little twist. Now we're in 31, verse 1. Now Jacob heard the words of Laban's sons who were watching his flock, Jacob's flock, grow, because they're the ones overseeing the spotted ones, right? And speckled ones. They're the ones overseeing. They're seeing the numbers there keep growing a lot. Now Jacob heard the words of Laban's sons saying, Jacob has stolen away all that was our father's, and from what was our father's, he has acquired of his wealth. So, well, in other words, he's thinking, somehow, whatever Jacob's doing, he's cheating. He's stealing from my father. Now, that doesn't mean that Laban isn't still growing. Doesn't mean that he's still not increasing. But it does mean that the numbers spotted and speckled are a lot more than the solid colored, even though they're all solid colored to start out with. It's pretty obviously something unusual. And they're looking at it like, this can't work. That's not how things work. Yeah, it does with God's involved, but they're only looking at it from the human standpoint. So obviously, they're getting very jealous. And you got to understand the sons. If Laban is supposedly losing here and not really gaining, that's taken away from their inheritance they would receive from their father. And so if their father supposedly is losing, they're losing also, because there won't be any inheritance. That becomes more of an issue as we go on. Verse 2, and Jacob saw the countenance of Laban, and indeed it was not favorable towards him as before. So in other words, Laban is the kind of guy that looks at you and talks to you, smiles while saying, I'm going to cheat you, I'm going to deceive you, I'm going to trick you, I'm going to make your life miserable, you're going to serve me, and all that, while smiling the whole time. You get that? That's kind of the kind of guy he is. You've met people like that. They smile even though they know they're manipulating and doing things that are bad, not to your advantage. So he's doing all that. And this time Jacob's saying, no, there's something different about Laban now. I can tell he's really mad, and he doesn't usually show it. Now he's beginning to show it. Verse 3, then the Lord said to Jacob, now Understand, the tension's getting real. Now, the Lord is now finally speaking directly to Jacob. He did that 20 years ago. Remember when he was back in Bethel? He was renamed to Bethel because of this event. So the Lord met him and said, I'm going to bless you and all that. This is 20 years later. He's now speaking to Jacob directly. And the Lord said to Jacob, return to the land of your fathers and to your family, and I will be with you. And that's the exact phrase he used way back 20 years ago. I will be with you. The same God that said that 20 years ago is telling you, I will be with you. And clearly God was and has been with him all along. So things are shaking up in the Laban family, not in a good way, in a very negative way. A lot of hostility going on there. Verse 4. So Jacob sent and called Rachel and Leah to the field to his flock. So they're going into the field because they want a place of privacy. They want to go where nobody can hear, right? You know, there's no walls, there's no open flaps, there's, you know, around the tent. They're just going to be out in the open. They want to have a conversation, Jacob and his wives. And this is private. So you can tell whatever he's about to say, he has never probably said this to them before. So this is going to be a new thing. You get the idea. Verse 5, and he said to them, I see your father's countenance, you know, the anger in his face and all that, that is not favorable towards me as before, but the God of my father has been with me. And that's pretty obvious. And he's acknowledging that. This is a good statement for him to make. He's realizing God has been with me. God's the one that's been blessing. Verse 6, and you know that with all my might I have served your father. They know. Why? Because he's putting in extra hours. He put, you know, the birthing process and late nights and all this. And they would know when Jacob is out long hours because they're married to him, right? So they understand that he's been working long hours and he's received nothing from it, right? I mean, up to this point, other than now the new plan with the speckled and spotted. But up to this point, first 14 years, absolutely nothing. All he's got is a place to stay and you just keep working. And that's been the condition. Now he's wanting to move on. Verse 7, yet your father has deceived me and changed my wages 10 times, but God did not allow him to hurt me. So what does he mean by the changing the wages? Well, you're going to see the next couple of verses. He'll explain what that means. Is it literally 10 times or is this hyperbole? I don't know. But he mentions that 10 times, one more time, later on in the text. So apparently Laban's made all kinds of adjustments to the agreement. So this, I think, is pretty interesting. Verse 8, if he said thus, now he's speaking to his wives, and he's saying, if Laban says this, this is how he's been changing the rules or changing his wages. If he said thus, the speckled shall be your wages, and all the flocks bore were speckled. So it's interesting because he's using the word deceived up there earlier in verse 7 there. Deceived me. Deceived me has the idea of mocking. It's the word for mocking. He's mocking me. So Laban has been deceiving and mocking Jacob all along and by taking advantage of him. And that's what's going on here. So if Laban... So this is Laban mocking Jacob. Now you're going to see God in verse 8 is mocking Laban. So if Laban said, the speckled shall be your wages. Well, only those that are speckled now will be your wage, not the spotted and the speckled. And no longer. No, you can only get those that are, in this case, if the speckled shall be your wages, then the flock spore speckled. Oh, so if Laban said, no, you can only have this kind, then that's the only kind that were being born. Like, you got to be kidding me. It goes on. And if he said thus, the streaked shall be your wages, then all they bore were streaked ones. So no matter what Laban said, that's how they all came out. It really was working against him. This is God mocking Laban in a big time way. He's using his actual words. As you said they're going to be the spotted ones. Well, guess what? Now everybody coming out, all these newborn animals are going to be spotted. You see the mockery that's kind of going, God, that sarcasm of God, I think is pretty obvious. Verse 9. So God has taken away the livestock of your father and given them to me. No, in so much that maybe there may be more of the spotted being born than the idea of the solid, maybe only in that sense. It's kind of like talking to a politician and they continue to raise the taxes or the expenses, but they don't raise it as much as they said they were going to raise it. So they say there's a tax cut in there. No, that's a lie. You're still raising them. I get the deception that's going on here. Hear how they're looking. No, he's not being cheated at all. But he's not gaining like he was. Laban is not gaining like he was. The sons recognize it because all of a sudden they got the maturity of the herd because they're all Jacob's. They're the ones watching it. They see it firsthand. Verse 10, and it happened at that time when flocks conceived that I lifted my eyes and saw in a dream. So this is God still speaking to Jacob. He's rehearsing it out. And behold, the rams which sleep upon the flock were streaked, speckled, and gray spotted. See, get the idea. They're all what God said that what the original plan would be. They were all born this way. So that's pretty important. Then the angel of God spoke to me in a dream and saying to Jacob, and I said, here am I. Okay, we see that many times. We see the angel of the Lord many times, but this is the angel of God. This is God speaking directly. This is Jesus before his incarnation, before he became a man. He's eternal. Verse 12. And he said, lift up your eyes and now and see all the rams which sleep on the flock are streaked, speckled, and gray spotted. For I have seen that Laban, what Laban is doing to you. He's saying, I've seen what Laban's been doing to you, and I've been blessing you, and in spite of Laban. That's pretty obvious. 13. I am the God of Bethel. He's remembering 20 years ago when he first talked to him, the first experience he had with God in a personal way. I am the God of Bethel, where you anointed the pillar and where you made a vow to me. Now rise, get out of this land, and return to the land of your family. So I'm going to get up to the point of departure, but not including the departure. This is where it's interesting when you start seeing the wives' response. Look at verse 14. Then Rachel and Leah answered and said to him, is there any portion or inheritance for us in our father's house? They know Laban has no more money. They know the money that he's put aside is supposed to be given for them when they go or depart or whatever, the dowry for marriage. He's already spent it. There is nothing. They understand that. So they're saying, there's nothing here for us. If you want to go, and that's what the Lord's telling you to do, okay, we're all in for it. Verse 15, are we not considered strangers by him? This is his daughter speaking. We're like strangers to him. He treats us like any other person. We're his daughters, and he treats us no differently than he does any other servant. And obviously Jacob recognized that as well. For he has sold us, is how they're describing it. They don't have a lot of good things to say about their own father. And also completely consumed our money. They know it. They know that he's spent it all. He's got a spending problem. Whatever he's spending on, it's not done in a wise way. He's not using his money in a wise way. So we'll just go ahead and last verse 16. For all these riches which God has taken from our father are really ours and our children's. Now then, whatever God has said to you, do it. And God's telling them to leave and depart. And that's what they're going to end up doing. That's where it picks up in verse 17. We'll stop there. But I want you to see, Laban isn't such a great guy. He's a manipulator from the beginning to the end. Everything about him is, how can I take advantage of the next person? I mean, even his own daughters. And we saw what he did with the deception of the marriage and all that. And the deception of changing the rules along the way was even after they made the plan and the deal. Where, okay, so he said, no, you can only have the speckled. And then the only thing would be born is the speckled. No, no, no. Now you can only have the spotted. Or now everything born is going to be spotted. The mockery, it seems like his own words are coming back against him. Honestly, Laban didn't show much expression of any faith in God. And I mentioned earlier that he said, I learned from experience. The word experience is the idea of divination. That's going to become important as we go on in the next chapter. His idols will come up into the mix. And to talk about the fact that he worships these idols becomes a big deal. But at this point, Jacob, his sons, and all his wealth, they're determined to leave. Because first of all, God told them to. And they know it's time for them to go. It's not a good time for them to go. And understand that God is, sometimes the circumstances are harsh. But all along, while the conditions were always being changed for Jacob, and somehow God blessed him, and he didn't bring any harm to him, allow any harm to him, because God had a plan for him for the future. And also, the fact that he's only got 11 sons, he needs to have one more son, right? There's going to be 12 sons. Anyway, let's close in a word of prayer. Father, we're just so grateful for your word. We're so grateful to be able to study it, to look at it. We learn so many attitudes and so many bad ways of looking at things and people that are not trusting in you and the lack of wisdom because of it. Father, help us to learn that you are in our everyday lives and you care about the everyday details of our lives. Help us to realize that, to trust you more, and to spread the name of Jesus and the salvation that he provides. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.